You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, we've been teaching the last few weeks. I kind of want to continue it. It flavored a little bit with the Independence Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, our independence. But I've been teaching for the last few weeks on how that Jesus came to save us from our sins. You know, in James, the first chapter, Matthew, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Matthew, the first chapter, where it announces the birth of Jesus, it says the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The 18th verse tells us that. And it goes on down, talks about how God visited Joseph in a dream with an angel, sending an angel to him. And he says, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary as thy wife, that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And the angel says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I know that's exciting. Don't everybody just, you know, settle down. The name Jesus means deliver or savior. And the significant part of that verse is this fact, that he saved us from our sins. I think we think in terms of hell, we're saved from hell, and that's true. No question. The penalty of sin, hell, we're saved from it. We're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. But it says there he saved us from our sins. Hallelujah. I don't have to keep sinning. Now, 4 or 5 of y'all are real excited about that. But he actually came to save me from my sin. From it. From the power of it. From the control of it. And you could put a name on it. You could just name whatever sin it is. He came to save you from it. Maybe it's anger. I don't know. He came to save you from anger. Maybe it's adultery. He came to save you from adultery. Not just forgive you for it. Sure, he does that if you repent. But he saves you from it so you don't have to keep doing it. Hallelujah. You're saved from your sins. See, this is something I think we miss. We might teach on holy living, or we might teach on sin and how bad it is and what it does to you, but we don't always teach on the fact that we now in Christ Jesus have power over sin. You can overcome it. You can get rid of that addiction. You can get rid of that obsession or whatever that thing is. If it's a sin, praise God, Jesus delivered you from it. Yeah. Woohoo! Hallelujah. And so you see that theme all through the Scripture. Romans, the 6th chapter, talks about it in great detail. How that sin shall not have dominion over us. Romans the 12th chapter, 21st verse says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Amen. Hallelujah. Do something good. Start serving God. Start doing the right thing. You will start overcoming sin when you start doing the right thing. When you start serving God, keeping His commandments, it empowers you to overcome sin. This is why Jesus came. Amen. Then, of course, in 1 John 5, 1, it says, "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And it goes on down to the 4th verse and says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Amen. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Christ. So you and I, we're overcomers. Amen. We've been set free. I'm no longer in the prison. I no longer need to be rescued. I'm no longer in slavery. I am free, free, free. Amen. Because of what Jesus did for me. Amen? And we're celebrating freedom in this country. You know, we don't pay taxes to Great Britain. We don't take orders from Great Britain. Now, of course, this was years ago. Thank God for Great Britain. This is not a sermon against Great Britain. Stay with me. We're just talking about what we're celebrating, our independence. We have been freed. In fact, we even wrote up a Declaration of Independence. We declared our freedom. We said we're free from this and we're free from that. And we're free from this law and that law. We're free from this oppression. I think as Christians we ought to declare our independence. Amen. We're not declaring what we're free from. We're continuing to live like everybody else and be in bondage like everybody else. And praise God, Jesus shed his blood so I could be freed from my sins. Amen. Excuse me for getting excited. Hallelujah. If I do get into sin, praise God, he is a forgiving God. He does forgive me. But see, his purpose is to keep me. He wants me to quit sinning altogether. He wants me to stop it. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect in this life. Don't run out of here and say, "I'm saying that," because you're not. You know me and Fred, the only two perfect people in this building. And I'm wondering about Fred. But anyway. No, none of us are perfect. But we should be getting better at this thing. Amen. And we should live differently than the world does. Now, Listen, God loves the world. We ought to love the world. We don't condemn the world. We don't judge the world. But we don't live like the world because we want them to be saved. We look on the world as people that need to be rescued. We look on lost people as not terrible, wicked, corrupt people, but people who are still in prison who need to be saved and rescued from their sin through Jesus Christ. When you see people that are living in, it shouldn't just make you mad when you see people living in sin. It ought to make you get on your knees because they need to be rescued from it. You were captivated by it one time. You were in slavery to it at one time. I was, but praise God, Jesus came along and set me free. Amen. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I've been freed. So if I go out there and I get mad and get angry or some other sin or start gossiping or, hey, wow, just start talking about the pastor. Man, that'd be a good one. We'd get on that one. Quiet in here when I talk like that. Anyway, I need to realize I can stop that. I don't have to keep doing that. See, the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? We're thinking we're still captivated by that. Nothing we can do about that. Well, we're just people. No, we're born again, blood washed, free people. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you a new person?
Yes.
Okay. Quit paying taxes to Great Britain. Preach, as the song says. Quit paying taxes to Great Britain. Quit doing what they're telling you to do. You're not a citizen of Great Britain. Now, if you're listening to this and you're in Great Britain, you just, do something with a message. We love you. We're for you. These tapes go all over, so it's not this is not a sermon against Great Britain. Everybody say, God bless Great Britain. We're talking about a point in time in history where there's a revolution in our country. Think about it. And we declared our independence. We formed a new nation. You and I are now in a new nation, incidentally. It's called the Kingdom of God. I was freed from the sin kingdom, and I've been placed into this righteous kingdom. I now have a new king. I'm under a new set of rules now. Hallelujah. And you know what? I got the benefits of this new kingdom too because I'm a citizen of heaven. I have certain rights and privileges I did not have before. I have them now, and I can call on God anytime now as a Christian, as a believer, and claim those rights. Hallelujah. I've been freed. I want to go pop some firecrackers. Shoot off some Roman candles. Come on, man. I mean, I'm free. Somebody shed their blood for me. Jesus. And freed me from my sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Awesome. Acts. I'm getting too excited here. Acts 26. If that's possible. Sometimes I'm a little high strung. You understand that, don't you? Acts 26. Now this, a familiar passage of Scripture. This is Paul recounting the time that Jesus appeared to him in Acts the 9th chapter. Remember, Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, and a great light appeared, and Jesus appeared, and you got all over Paul, and Paul said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. You are persecuting me." It's fascinating because he wasn't persecuting Jesus, persecuting Christians. But see, if you do it to Christians, you do it to him. Because we're all in this kingdom together, and he's our king. Amen? And so that we're servants of the Lord, and we're part of his kingdom. God takes it very personally when people persecute you. That's why you need to pray for those that persecute you. Hello. Ask God to forgive, not lay that sin to their charge, and so on and so forth. But anyway, he had this experience in Acts 9, of course, was converted. Got saved. Hallelujah. And became one of the greatest preachers the world's ever known. Well, here he's in prison. And he's recounting this to King Agrippa, this instant in 26th chapter of the book of Acts. He's recounting what took place in Acts 9. And he tells him this, and in my Bible it's written in red because he begins to quote what Jesus said. It says here, 15th verse, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen, and of the things which I yet will reveal to you.'" Well, obviously, that's Paul's ministry. He went around telling about the vision he had, what he saw, and then the things that Jesus revealed to him afterwards. And we've got book after book after book about that. You've got Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, all these books that Paul wrote, full of the things that Jesus revealed to him, and he preached that, he ministered that. God made him a minister. I love that. In fact, a Bible school, a minister does not make. Thank God for Bible school. But a minister is made by God. You're either called or you're not called. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's like this old country preacher said one time. He said, I don't know what that anointment is, but I know when it ain't. And so, you know, you know when there's a call, you know when there's not. It's just something not right when it's not, and something's right when it is. You know, when they preached in the Bible, it says their hearts were pricked. When Jesus, you know, ministered to those two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? See, when there's an anointing, a call, and a presence, it does something, it grabs you. It puts the hook in your jaw, as it were. And if you know what I'm talking about, maybe it happened to you right now. That's good. That's the Holy Ghost. But anyway, it says he goes on to say this. He's recounting this. He's quoting Jesus, what Jesus said to him. He said, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will show to you. And he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And Brother Osteen used to always say, every pastor ought to get a hold of that verse, that God has delivered you from whom he sent you to. Okay, moving right along. Well, no, really. As a minister, as much as I love you and pray for you and have you in my heart, I have to be delivered from you. In other words, I can't be influenced by you in the sense that I can't stand up here and preach on, you know, something you said or something you did, or God forbid I get up here, hear about some sin somebody's committing, and then get up, bless God, I'm going to get up and I'm going to straighten that out. That's abuse of power, and that's not getting my sermons from the Holy Ghost anyway. Amen. That's letting the devil just write my whole agenda for me. He'd have me busy preaching all year long. Are you kidding? With a church like this, I'd be so busy. I'm. Okay, you love me, don't you? Okay, you got to love me now. You got to love me. You know, you got to get delivered from me too. You know, come on. Let's all just get delivered from each other today, okay? Can we do that? All right. Well, he says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So even when you're ministering to someone, you know, you have to in your heart be delivered from them in the sense that you're trying to help them and you can't let them sway you from doing what's right and standing up for what's right and ministering to them. You know, be careful where I preach. Oh, so-and-so's in the crowd. Don't want to preach on this because I know they're doing this. Or be sure and preach on it because I know they're doing that. Both those are wrong. I just got to preach by the Holy Ghost and just let God minister to you. Because if I get up here and start preaching on things I know are going on, people are in it. They're not going to receive it. They're mad. They know I'm doing it for that reason. They're not going to get it. But if I let the Holy Ghost do it and it comes out in another way, maybe we'll laugh a bit and then come in for the kill. Watch it when I tell a joke and everybody laughs, because that's when I come in for the kill. No, I can get away with things, really. I mean, if we're laughing, and you know, I can say some pretty hard things that you don't get mad about. And you realize we're just trying to help you. See, the thing I don't want to do is get up here and just be mad at you. I want to rebuke and I want to reprove with the word. We need that. I need that. But we don't need personalities in it. And we don't need personal vendettas involved. Nobody's trying to up one another. Not about vengeance. It's not about getting to anybody. We want to help each other. Amen. And so you got to have some trust. You got to trust each other. You got to be delivered from each other. You got to love each other and trust each other. Then we can really help each other. You know, a man can't have too many real close friends, because you couldn't really take that kind of abuse all the time. No, I'm serious. Because they say some things you need to hear, and you wouldn't just take it from anybody. Am I telling the truth? You know that's true. We got a lot of friends. We got some real close friends that can sit down with you and just read you the right act. And you know what? Because you trust them, because you're close to them, you'll listen. And you'll take it to heart. Whereas somebody else will just make you mad and you won't, you know, do anything. Okay. Well, somebody need to hear that. I don't know who that was. Who is that? So it's sin this week. I know somebody this. Don't worry, I won't pick you up. I will deliver you from the Jewish people to whom and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to. Now listen to this very closely. Why did God send Paul? Why does God raise up any minister? Why does God send you to someone? Why does God do that? What's the point? What's the purpose? Is there a purpose? Yes, there is. Is there a purpose to preaching? You better believe it. Did Jesus come with a mission? Yes, he did. He just came, he died, and that was it. No, he had a reason for that. He had a mission. He had a purpose. See, and church, we have a purpose here. There's a reason you came here today. There's a reason we get together and get in the Word and find out what God says here. There's a purpose to preaching. Preaching has a purpose and has a mission. Listen to this. To open their eyes. To open their eyes. To open their eyes. I'm not going to camp meeting right there. Preaching is to open your eyes. See, teaching is to open our eyes. Most of us go through life with our eyes closed. Most of us go through life asleep. That's why the Bible tells us, Ephesians the 5th chapter says, "Awake thou that sleepest, rise from the dead. Christ shall give you light." I love that. So we need to wake up. You know, you can get lulled with the world, the music of the world, the sound of, I'm not talking about music in particular. I'm talking about figuratively, allegorically. You can get lulled with the spirit of the world because we're in it. We're in it every day. Are you with me? All week long. Come into church. You know what happens when you come to church? You wake up. You know what happens when you open up your Bible? You wake up. Your eyes start opening up. Oh, that's not right, is it? Oh, no, I shouldn't do that. Oh, that's what's wrong right there. That's what I need to do right there. Hello. Your eyes are opened. And what we're open to, this is good, we're open to the way out. We're open to the freedom that we have in Christ. See, most people accept what they should be or endure what they should be overcoming. Most people accept sin and they'll say, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way I am. They'll say things like, that's my thorn in the flesh or that's my cross to bear. Neither of which is talking about sin or sickness. Neither of which is talking about that. And they'll just accept things that we were ordained and empowered by God to overcome. Still paying taxes to Great Britain. Still taking our orders from Great Britain. I don't know if you realize or not, but some 240-something years ago, 200, how many? Yeah, long time ago. 230, 70. Anyway, y'all do the math. You don't have to be able to count to preach. 200-something years ago, whether you realize or not, we got freed from Great Britain. And we're under our own laws now. We're not under their laws. Thank God for Great Britain, what they're doing. But you know, we got our own country. We got our own laws here. We're subject to these laws and these benefits. And we're citizens of this nation. Hallelujah. Well, you know, at some point in time, I suppose you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, did you? Amen. I did. I accepted Him. In fact, I accepted Him when I was a long time ago. 30-something years ago. I accepted Jesus. You know what happened to me? I got under a whole new kingdom. I got under a whole new set of laws. And I quit paying taxes to sin. I quit taking my orders from my body. I quit giving in to the flesh. Are you with me? I mean, little by little. Of course, I've sinned since then. And I remember I sinned one time 3 or 4 years ago. But anyway. But I don't live like I used to live. Are you with me? I'm getting better at this thing. I'm realizing I'm free. Hallelujah. My eyes have been opened. Praise God. I don't have to live like that. I have choices. Woo, you can change your destiny. You can change your future. You've got choices now. And see, the preaching of the Word opens your eyes. Now listen to this. Well, this is good stuff. I'm so glad y'all came because I would have preached to Brenda and my family. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Yes. Amen. See, the preaching of the Word opens our eyes in order to turn us. Turn us away from the wrong road we're on. Turn us away from, that's what repent means, to turn around. See, repent's a good word. That's a great word. Are you kidding? Repent's not bad. That's a great word. Man, if I'm going down the wrong road and I'm going down the road of destruction, please tell me so I can get off that road. And that's what it's, if you can see a trail of bodies that sin will do for your life and your family and your business, your body, your mind, come on, there's nothing good about it. You may say it's a lot of fun right now, but I'll tell you, the end is terrible. And God's trying to help us. He's just trying to help us. And if we'll listen to Him and let Him minister to us, the Word will open our eyes and it will turn us from darkness to light. I used to be in darkness, but praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen.
You know, I was preaching one time. In fact, I was preaching over there on Ephesians 5 where it says, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. See thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil." Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord, on and on and on. Anyway, I was preaching that. Just go with the whole chapter for you, I could. But anyway, I was preaching on that, and it just, the Spirit of God came on me in the middle of my sermon. Some of y'all might remember, this is years ago. And it just jumped on me. You know, sometimes that happens. And I just came out with, out of wrong teaching into the right. Out of darkness into the light. Out of stagnant pools and into the flow. Out of wondering and into the know. Ooh, hallelujah. I didn't have time to think about that. I didn't sit there and try to rhyme that out. It just came out of me, just like that. You know, and those things you know are God, especially when you're as dumb as I am. To come out like that, you just, you know, stay with me. I mean, if it comes that quick, I don't have time to think that fast. But this is what it's all about. Take us out of wrong teaching and into the right. Take us out of darkness and into the light. Take us out of old stagnant pools, decaying and dying and into the flow. Take us out of wondering and into the know. Amen? This is what Paul was about. This is what preaching is about. Preaching is to open our eyes. Why? To turn us from darkness to light. From Satan to God. From the power of Satan to the power of God. I've been delivered, oh praise the Lord. There's been a big change in me. Oh, big change in me. That's an old song, which I won't sing for you. I'll bless you by not singing it to you. But I'm not under the power of Satan anymore. I'm under the power of God. I've turned from light, from darkness to light. Hallelujah. I've stepped out of darkness into light. See, and the power of God is always associated with truth. There's no question about it. When you get truth, you're stepping into the power of God now. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will free you, see. So why are you paying taxes to the devil? Why are you taking orders from the devil? Why are you paying your taxes to sin? Why are you taking orders from sin? You don't have to do that anymore. Praise God, you can serve God now. You can love. You can forgive. You can go on. You can live holy. You can live right. You can go to church. You can serve God. You can lift your hands. You can shout. You can dance. You can have a big time. You can go to heaven and miss hell. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? You've been set free. You've been delivered. Don't buy the lie. See, deception is the devil's tool. Truth is God. Darkness is the devil's tool. Light is God's. Closing your eyes, ignoring it, that's the devil's tool. But opening your eyes, that's God's tool. Ignoring the facts doesn't make the facts go away. Pulling the sheets over your head and wishing all the bad people go away won't make them go away. You've got to open your eyes up and quote the word and stand on the word and they'll leave. Amen? See, the devil's greatest tool is deception. The greatest tool is to keep you down, keep you beat down, keep you trampled down, keep you run over, keep you bamboozled. Woo! No. I've been set free. I've been set free. I need to write up a declaration of independence. That's what I need to do. That's what you need to do. Declare your independence from sin according to God's word. Quit paying taxes to the devil. Turn over to Romans 8. Just helping somebody? Amen. It's helping me. Hallelujah. I tell you, living right's a good thing, not a bad thing. Amen. Sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, the Bible tells us. And I tell you what, just keeping the commandments of God, the blessing of God comes on us and it overtakes us. I love that. Deuteronomy 28 tells us that if we will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God and do that which is right in His sight and keep His commandments which He commands us this day. He says He will set us on high above all nations of the earth. And He says all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. God will bless your business. God wants to prosper you. He really, really does. I mean, God doesn't want the devil to have all the money. He wants God's people to have the money. If you'll serve God, He will bless you. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, Proverbs 10:22 says, and He adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord does what? Makes rich. And He has no sorrow with it. It's terrible to have riches and it's just accompanied with sorrow. But God makes rich and adds no sorrow. God wants to bless us, but it comes from serving Him. It comes from doing the right thing. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. You don't want the wages that comes from sin. You don't want that paycheck. You want this paycheck. You want the one God gives. Go pop some firecrackers. You've been set free. Amen? Romans 8. Notice this. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's just kind of added there. In other words, that identifies who we are. Where are those people that don't walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit? That's who we are. Are you with me? There's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Not because we're morally better, but there's no condemnation because we're in Christ. Are you with me? Period. That's it. That's really the end of the thought. And the rest of that sentence really comes down to, where are those people who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Woohoo! Oh, that's good preaching. Oh, say it again, preacher, say it again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Glory.
I'm not under that law anymore. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus from that law, the law of sin, the law of death. What law am I under? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I can live, hallelujah, and I will live forever, incidentally. And I don't have to give in to sin. Don't have to be dominated by sin. The Old Testament cried, David used to cry, Lord, let not sin have dominion over me. He cried that in one of the Psalms. Actually, after he committed adultery, he cried that. He says, oh, Lord, let not your Spirit depart from me. He said, oh, let not sin have dominion over me. Paul says in Romans 6, says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Somebody paid that price. Somebody slew that giant. Somebody whoop that devil, as we say in East Texas, Lord, whooping somebody, you know. He whooped that devil. The Bible says he took away from him the keys of hell and death and rose victorious, made a show, a triumphant show of him in front of the host of hell. If you could just see what happened in hell when Jesus rose from the dead. We often miss this point, just like we forget what happened in this country 200 and how many years ago. Are you with me? We often forget a battle that took place, or many battles that took place, but the people that gave their lives, put their lives on the line for a cause, for a mission. And they won that battle. You know we won? Okay? We won. We celebrate that. But sometimes we forget what Jesus did and how he won the victory for us and how we've got the victory in Christ Jesus and how we always triumph in Christ and how we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and how greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? We forget that. We forget what he did, and then sin comes along, we just give in to it. You don't have to do that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to put up with depression. We prayed for people to have peace. Why can we do that? Who gives us that right? Who died and put us in charge? Jesus. Jesus did. He put every one of us over the devil when he arose from the dead. You think about it. When he went to hell and he took the keys of hell and death from them. That's why Christians go to heaven now when they die. Before Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't go straight to heaven. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. They're waiting Jesus to come and whoop the devil, you know, beat the devil, and get the keys of hell and death. Now he rose victorious, and now when people die, as Christians, we go to heaven. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead, because he won a battle there. See, Stephen, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit when he died. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, a victory was wrought. Jesus won a victory over the devil. And we have, Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus went down there. They thought they had Jesus. They thought they had won this thing. They had killed the Prince of Peace and the Son of God. They went out and they buried him, but see, they didn't bury him. They planted him. And what you plant comes back up. Amen? And that third day, the Spirit of God said, that's enough. And the Bible says it entered Jesus and he rose as a born-again man, the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn among all of us, the captain, the leader of our salvation. And he went up to the devil and defanged him and took his teeth out I know this is figurative, but I'm telling this story, so let me go on. And now all he can do is roar, and he just comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. All he can do is just holler and scream. He hadn't got any teeth. Jesus took his teeth out. Took the keys away from him. Says, you no longer hold another son, another daughter of God. Never again. The Bible even tells us in Matthew 27, you know what it tells us? It says that the graves were opened when Jesus rose from the dead. And many of the saints were seen. Wow, that woke up some people. Why? A victory was won. This is what we're celebrating. We talk about Independence Day. We talk about the independence of our nation, our country. Thank God for it. Thank God for the United States of America. God bless the United States of America. Thank God for this vestige of hope the world has in this country. Thank God for the light that shines from this country. Thank God for the freedoms we hold dear. Thank God for our people and our country and our nation and our government. Thank God. But let me tell you something. Thank God for Jesus because he made it all possible. He made this nation possible. And it's been said years ago, if this nation is not one nation under God, it's a nation gone under. Hello. But you and I are free. Amen. Amen. We're free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free. Amen. We're free people. Amen. Free from sin. Free from hell. Free from those things that hold the world, that used to hold us and try to hold us now. But don't you buy the lie. You open up your eyes. Open up your eyes and turn from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. And let Jesus set you free. Amen? Amen. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.